Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 77 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Hallie Adams.
I'd really like to see a lot of community support these artists.
A community enrichment project is looking for artwork for a fall show.
The Secretary of State made a visit to Moorhead yesterday.
A regional hospital is running out of room for the dead.
Healthcare workers say patients are younger and sicker than the beginning of the pandemic.
An increasing number of children are testing positive for COVID.
In sports, Brown County football hosts Raceland tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 56. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
Artists in Frameworks is issuing a call to all artists for the upcoming fourth rotation of their Rowan County Courthouse Art Exhibit. The group opened submissions Wednesday, and the deadline for artists to submit their artwork is September 24th. Stephen Hayes is the owner of Artists in Frameworks. He says there are a few guidelines artists should follow when submitting work.
We have to have a digital photo submission just to make sure that the artwork fits within the scope of the exhibit. Of course, it's family friendly since it's in the courthouse. The artwork must be a 2D artwork that is suitable for framing, or if it is a three-dimensional artwork, it has to be able to be framed within a shadow box framing to be presented on the wall.
Any artist wishing to enter artwork should call 606-207-1672. The fourth rotation of the exhibit runs from October 15th to December 15th at the Round County Courthouse.
Kentucky Secretary of State gave an update on the Commonwealth's voting system Thursday. Michael Adams spoke during the September Moorhead Brown County Chamber of Commerce luncheon, where he discussed the bipartisan's effort to expand voting in Kentucky. Many changes were made to accommodate voters amid the pandemic during the 2020 general election. With the success of the process in Kentucky, the bipartisan's effort was made to leave many of those changes in place. House Bill 574 was signed into law by Governor Andy Beshear back in April. During the event, Adams says things didn't go as smoothly in other states, often leaving citizens feeling disenfranchised. The Secretary of State says one way it was avoided in Kentucky was by not having a think tank or interest group write the election procedures.
That's what's going on in Congress. That's what's going on in other states. Here, your clerk and me and all of us, we sat down and we wrote the election procedures. The clerks are on the front lines running these elections. They're the ones who offer suggestions to us, and we meet with them, we confer with them regularly in everything that we do, getting the clerks together with legislators, the governor, and others.
Adams also cited only one instance of a voter attempting to vote twice during the election, adding there was fewer reports of irregularities overall compared to previous elections.
COVID-19 cases continue to climb, and hospitals all across the state are reaching patient capacity. In Perry County, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report the positivity rate is 19% over the last 7 days, and Hazard ARH Regional Medical Center has reached morgue capacity. This comes on a day when Kentucky reported its second highest number of cases in a given day, exceeding 5,000. Tanya McCowan is the Community Chief Nursing Officer for Hazard ARH. She tells LEX 18 the huge rise in hospitalized patients wasn't entirely unexpected.
We knew with the Delta variant that it would bring back some high numbers for us. School starting back, summer vacations, people relaxed with their masking. So we did know that we just wanted to see some high numbers again.
McCowan says they have 191 COVID-19 patients across the ARH system, and roughly 95% of those are unvaccinated. In a Facebook post, hospital leaders say looking elsewhere for a morgue location is only taken as a last resort.
Health officials across the country thought the pandemic was coming to an end, but August brought new records with no signs of slowing down. Kentucky's positivity rate is the highest the state has ever recorded. More than 2,000 Kentuckians are hospitalized, 617 are in the ICU, and 406 are on ventilators. Jill Barley has been an ICU nurse at the University of Louisville Hospital for 30 years. She tells YMT she takes extreme measures to keep her family safe after working a 12-hour shift.
I have a process where I strip in my garage. I leave my shoes, my scrubs, I have my robe, and I go straight to the shower before I touch my kids, talk to my family.
Many ICU patients have asked health officials for the vaccine when it is too late, while others don't regret their decision of not being vaccinated. Health officials are in hopes people will listen to what they are experiencing firsthand in hospitals and bring awareness to the COVID spike.
Kentucky nursing students are stepping in to help ease the stress on overtaxed and understaffed healthcare workers as the state battles the new wave of COVID-19. Two-thirds of Kentucky hospitals currently face what they're calling critical staffing shortages as health providers grapple with twin challenges, the surge in COVID patients, at the same time their ranks are thinning. Mark Vaught is CEO of Gallen College of Nursing, whose students are being asked to do more in a time when their profession is under strain.
We are getting call-outs for supporting our communities that are in very dire need. With our campus in Louisville and our campus in Hazard, our students and our faculty are traveling around the Commonwealth, driving hours to provide a second set of hands to assistance to these facilities.
Hospitalizations from COVID-19 are at a record high in Kentucky, with more than 9,000 beds occupied as of Thursday.
An increasing percentage of new COVID-19 cases are in young Kentuckians ages 18 and under. Compare the pie chart of new COVID cases last August to this August, and it's hard not to notice the larger slice taken up by younger people. Governor Andy Beshear explained the breakdown of cases by age Thursday.
One in every four is a kid under 18 years old. That's why we're seeing those school closings. That's why we're seeing more kids in the hospital. That's why we're ultimately going to lose more kids nationwide, and we hope not here in Kentucky.
Around 30 school districts have had to pause instruction due to the rise in COVID cases among students. That's as young people under 12 remain ineligible for the vaccine. Pfizer has signaled that emergency use of vaccines in children ages 5 to 12 could start in late fall or early winter.
New information is emerging from a University of Louisville COVID-19 study called the Co-Immunity Project. Over the past year, the Christina Lee Brown Environ Institute at U of L has been compiling information used by the CDC to determine how long antibodies last. Assistant Professor of Medicine at U of L, Dr. Rachel Keith, tells Wave 3 they're looking at how COVID spreads.
So when we look at prevalence, the way the infection course runs in people, if we spread it out too long, it's really not a very good snapshot.
Keith says the study is yielding helpful results, and she encourages others to become participants if they are vaccinated. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, presenting Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band in concert with guests Nick Detmeyer and the Sawdusters, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, September 16th. A two-time Blues Music Award nominee, Reverend Peyton performs rootsy country blues in support of their latest album, Dance Songs for Hard Times. Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, 7:30 p.m. Thursday, September 16th at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets available by calling 606-886-2623 or online at macarts.com.
Conversations about Kentucky's future COVID-19 policies continue behind the scenes as the governor and lawmakers strategize for an anticipated special legislative session. With a Supreme Court decision delivering more power to the General Assembly, when it comes to setting pandemic policies, all eyes have been on an expected legislative session. Thursday, Governor Andy Beshear stopped short of making an announcement, but hinted that it's likely in the coming days.
I see it, soon. We're still awaiting word in whether we have enough agreement to get that going as soon as we would hope. I believe that it is certainly possible that we have a special session as early as Tuesday, but that's not announcing we're having one on Tuesday.
The big questions facing the legislator, whether to extend the state of emergency, grant the governor any leeway to mandate masks in any settings, and how to handle schools that might rapidly exhaust their virtual or non-traditional instruction days that count towards yearly attendance. It is a full plate that lawmakers insist they can tackle during the typical short 5-day window of the special session. But Bashir has previously predicted the shifting demands of the COVID era may prove difficult for the full legislature to handle. Taking a look at the region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, Saturday mostly sunny with a high near 80. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible, mostly cloudy with a low around 64. Sunday showers likely with a high near 75. Sunday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly before 9 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 59. And for your Labor Day, sunny with a high near 79. On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaf takes a look at the unvaccinated.
For 300 years, Americans have been fighting about vaccines. Folks called it inoculation back in 1721. But today, we are fighting the same battle with ourselves over the wisdom of messing with nature when it comes to immunity. The Boston smallpox epidemic of 1721 became the fire pit whence sprang American journalism and the tradition of one paper saying tomato while the other said tomato. This isn't anything new on this land. Perhaps the problem 300 years ago was too little information. Today we may suffer from too much. One can find compelling, well-published, certified, documented, footnoted, endorsed bullshit on nearly any subject known to humankind. As Henri Bergson is said to have said, people will disagree about anything. I agree with that. So, people disagreeing about the wisdom of the COVID vaccine should come as no surprise, and as people who are not vaccinated become sick in greater numbers, and as the festering pool for mutation is maintained thereby, foxhole conversions are increasing. No surprise there either. But what is surprising, as it has been for 300 years, is the makeup of the group of people who are anti-vaccination. Who are they? Not who are those who are too sick or feeble or unable to handle the rigors of vaccination. Not them. Let's just spend a minute defining the diverse group of persons who are, for whatever reason, choosing not to take a vaccine that is medically indicated. They are so interesting. Folks distrust the vaccines, they distrust the government, and people they do trust are warning them off of vaccination. In this kettle of worry, we see several demographic dumplings bobbing. A recent Carnegie Mellon study discovered that as vaccine hesitancy fell by one-third over the last 5 months, the most stubbornly anti-vax group that remained included lots of people with PhDs. Education, it seems, does not always correlate with, I don't know, there's no way to say it politely. You finish that sentence. Oh, but surely their reasoning is sound. According to a very recent Kaiser study, black and Hispanic people are less likely to choose vaccination than whites. There is some very recent data to show an uptick in vaccinations, but in this category, as in so many others, such persons appear to be underrepresented. Surely their reasoning is sound. Oh yes, there is that mob of whites that is 1.5 times bigger than the nearest other racial group. Republicans, Democrats, high school, college, blue, white, cotton collar, religious, atheist, a brimming arena that is shouting at once, "We will not!" And as our forebears shook their heads and wondered back in Boston, so shall we. I'm John Modaf.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., curbside delivery at 780-4282. Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
It's 77 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Hallie Adams and Shamari Mosley, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Ethan Jenkins has a look at sports coming up, but first, thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this beautiful Friday afternoon.
It's week 3 in high school football action tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ethan Jenkins. The Rowan County Senior High School football team is looking to rebound tonight after dropping their game against East Carter last week. the Vikings will be back in the win column if they get the victory, as they are currently sitting at 1-1 on the season. Head coach Kelly Ford says he's been asking his guys a question as they get ready to host Raceland.
You know, we got to put the pieces together, and, you know, the biggest question I asked the guys this week is, how are you going to respond? We took a tough loss over East, so how are you going to respond with another excellent top five football team going to come in and play you here in your house? So, you know, it's growing pains. I mean, I always tell everybody these first five preseason games for us, and hopefully it's going to make us better down the road when we get into district play.
Kickoff against the Rams in Moorhead this evening is set for 7:30. In other football action tonight, Martin County hosts Fleming and Morgan County welcomes Jackson. Games for East Carter and Bath County were canceled for COVID. The Round County Senior High School volleyball team fell on the road last night, but their week isn't over yet. The Vikings lost to Boyd County 3-0, bringing in their record to 3-5 on the season. Head coach Steve Walters says his girls will be back on the road tomorrow as they hit the road to play in a showcase in Elizabethtown,
where we will just be going down and playing in a four-team division and playing round robin. And it is a little bit in flux. Just got an email today that one of the teams was in it is now quarantined, so they are looking for a replacement there. So as of now, we're pretty sure that Logan County will be there, and we're pretty sure that Meade County will be there, but we're looking for a replacement for Ohio County.
Rowan is set to first face off with Logan County tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Returning home where the program is 33-5 in the last three seasons, Moorhead State Volleyball is set to host the first of two tournaments at Johnson Arena. The Eagle Challenge got underway this morning with the Eagles taking on Evansville, dropping that match 3-1. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker-McBride says the team is glad to be back to host the tournament.
Yeah, so we have Evansville, Cleveland State, and Radford, three teams that will all be a little bit different style than what we just saw this past weekend, but it'll be good to finally compete on our home court again.
The Eagles will face off with Cleveland State this evening at 7 and playing Radford tomorrow at 2 o'clock. The Moorhead State University soccer team is on the road this weekend. Currently at 1-2-1 on the young season, the Eagles are heading to Michigan for two contests, one tonight and one on Sunday. Tonight's game will be against Central Michigan, then they'll head to Eastern Michigan. Head coach Warren Lipka says both teams will be bringing the heat.
They've played a real tough schedule. They just played Michigan and Michigan State, you know, and they lost both matches, but they were close matches. You know, they're going to be ready to open up at home. Eastern Michigan's also, they've traveled out east. So these teams are well coached, and they've got a good ability and abundance of talent, and I think they're doing the same thing that we're doing. They're trying to prep themselves for, you know, conference play.
Tonight's contest against Central Michigan gets underway at 6 o'clock. Sunday's game against Eastern Michigan is set for 2. It may be deja vu for the Eagles, but the Moorhead State football program is ready to begin its fall 2021 season in the same location it began in the 2021 spring season, at James Madison. The Dukes are currently ranked number 2 in the country as MSU opens up their 9th season under the leadership of coach Rob Tenure. Things didn't go well for the Eagles during their last matchup with the school, but Tenure says there wasn't much prep time available before the spring season, and that hasn't been the case this go-around.
I feel good about what we've done up to this point. I'm excited about our preparation. You know, last year when we played in the spring, obviously we didn't practice a lot, and I think we left a lot on the field. Just a lot of minimal mistakes that, you know, really end up being some big plays in the game. And I'm confident that we can eliminate some of that and, you know, go and compete and see what happens.
Kickoff in Harrisonburg, Virginia tomorrow is set for 6 o'clock. Moorhead State Men's Golf opens its 21-22 season today and tomorrow at the Eastern Kentucky Fall Intercollegiate in Richmond. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
The EKU Intercollegiate is the first of 13 tournaments for head coach Matthew Martin's squad this season, including 5 in the fall. This event will be held at the University Club at Arlington. Teams competing with the Eagles include Austin Peay, Bellarmine, Dayton, Eastern Kentucky, Jacksonville State, Longwood, Marshall, Missouri State, Murray State, Northern Kentucky, Ohio, Purdue Fort Wayne, Samford, SIU Edwardsville, and Western Carolina.
Martin's lineup features fifth-year man Joe Mushong at number one, sixth-year player Ryan Gillum at number two, fifth-year athlete Zach Vimenitz in the third spot, third-year linkster Blake Evans at number four, and freshman Nolan Piazza making the lineup at number five in his first college event. The competition is set to wrap up tomorrow. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts reporting.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ethan Jenkins.
Support for Moorhead State Public Radio comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum, and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, and mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials retreated today, along with the S&P 500. And, of course, the S&P slipped from a record high yesterday after the jobs report came in short of expectations, showing the impact of the Delta-fueled COVID resurgence. At the close, the Dow Industrials showed a loss of 74.73 at 35,369.09. The S&P 500 was down 1.51 at 4535.44. The NASDAQ composite was up 32.34 as strength in big tech helped strengthen the overall market quite a bit, the NASDAQ finishing at 15,363.52. Non-farm payrolls for the month of August increased by only 235,000, and economists going into the report were expecting an increase of 720,000 jobs. The report marks a significant slowdown from July's revised figure of 1.05 million and comes as the Delta variant of COVID-19 has led to health restrictions being put back in place in some states and cities. And of course, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell has emphasized the need for more strong jobs data before the central bank would start to unwind its massive bond buying program, and the disappointing report could change expectations about when the Fed will start its tapering process. And the report does raise questions about the long-term growth trajectory for the U.S. economy, but the impact of the Fed appeared to be offsetting that in today's trading, according to BMO Wealth Management analysts. According to BMO, the early reaction was more difficult with the markets, but there's at least some comfort now that the Fed is pushing back tapering and maybe increasing accommodation for longer in general, and that is certainly giving the market some comfort. And the central bank will also be looking at how much COVID impacted hiring and activity during August. And modest gains from major tech stocks, as mentioned, including Apple and NVIDIA, supported the major indices today. Home building stocks, including Lennar and Pulte Group, were under pressure, along with cruise stocks. American Express was the worst performing component in the Dow as financial stocks struggled. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down 58 cents at 32, Marathon Petroleum up 34 cents at 58.24, App Harvest down 32 cents at 7.88, U.S. Bancorp down 29 cents at 56.15, PPL Energy was down 33 cents at $30.09 a share, and Lowe's was down 17 cents, finishing at $205.98. Reporting from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Alyssa White, Cassidy Stearman, Wiley Tanner, Ethan Jenkins, Keneally Roberts, and Shamori Mosley. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Hallie Adams and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News.